Welcome to podcasting.
Right? This segment is called What? This is the second time we're recording this, so forgive us. I call it What because every once in a while, my better half, Blue Stocking, a.k.a. Beth, says a thing, and one eye closes, the other eyebrow raises, and I'm wondering what the hell she's talking about. The most recent one was the Great Molasses Flood of the Boston Molasses Disaster, or the Great Boston Molasses Flood. You can look it up on Wikipedia, which is what I'm doing. And it's a real thing. January 15th, 1919, North End neighborhood in Boston, Massachusetts, at the Purity Distillery Company. A giant 50-foot tall, 90-foot in diameter container that contained 2,300,000 gallons of molasses collapsed. It knocked buildings off their foundations, and it messed up the L next to it, and killed 21 and injured 150.
Sticky, delicious death.
Sticky, delicious death. We talked about it. If you saw this coming, you'd kind of have to have a sense of humor about your death.
A sense of whimsy.
A little bit of whimsy going on, yeah. At 12:30 in the afternoon near Keeney Square, at 529 Commercial Street, it just blew, and it started a wave that was 25 feet high at its peak and moved at 35 miles per hour, destroying a lot of crap in its wake, knocking the train over. Several blocks were flooded up to a depth of 2 to 3 feet. Yeah, it really did. It really did happen.
Well, I think at that point in the processing, though, it's possible because it's not thick that way, the way it's...
Yeah, it's almost like water.
It's thinner, yeah. It was... It's not like it was creeping death.
No. Yeah. If it were that...
You're standing there watching.
If it were that thick, you gotta wonder about the people who were killed by it. Were you just so awestruck that you couldn't move?
Smell. It was just paralyzing.
Yeah, a little bit more fluid than that. And speaking of the smell, like you said... You can go there. They say you can go there today and stand in that area on a hot day and still smell the molasses, which I'm assuming got into
everything. It seeped into everything. I mean, any city has, and if that much molasses soaked in,
That's interesting. I didn't read this on the first taping, so I'm glad I caught it the second time around. There was money dispersed to survivors. Survivors of those killed reportedly received around $7,000 per victim.
I wonder how much that is in...
Adjusted.
More than we gave Puerto Rico?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Oh, it's the United States Industrial Alcohol Company, the company that owned the tank. Ultimately paid out $600,000 in out-of-court settlements at $6.5 million in 2017 terms. Adjusted for inflation. So at that time, $7,000 per victim.
Yeah.
Cleanup crews used salt water from a fireboat to wash the molasses away.
Yeah, I can see that.
And used sand to absorb it.
Yeah.
The harbor was brown with molasses until summer.
Oh my god, how many critters died?
I don't know. It probably did bad things to the water. Rescue workers, cleanup crews, and sightseers had tracked molasses through the streets and spread it to subway platforms, seats inside trains and streetcars, to pay telephone handsets, into homes,
bugs.
And to countless other places. Everything a Bostonian touched was sticky.
So I can imagine the smell has stuck around.
Oh, yeah.
It seeped into
everything. It seeped into everything. Oh. 1919.
You know what, though? It makes things kind of ironic. In Fringe, when they ambered people, remember, in the future?
Oh, yeah.
It was Boston.
Yeah.
Boston, they had sprays of molasses-looking liquid freezing people all over the city.
Yeah, many laws and regulations governing construction were changed as a direct result of the disaster, including requirements for oversight by licensed architects and civil engineers.
Back when things like that would happen.
Who'd thunk it? Maybe we should have some well-informed, intelligent people overseeing some of this process.
Who knew molasses could kill anybody? Well, no. It's
like, well, not in that way, but yeah.
Now we know.
Yeah. We've learned. Finally. I'm reminded of the Triangle Shirtwaist fire now, too.
Yeah, but the Triangle Shirtwaist, those assholes went and did it again.
Yeah.
They went immediately after they were acquitted. Those fuckers were acquitted, and they went and tried to do it again.
Well, imagine that, you know. Like business owners being tools. Could that be a thing, really? Yeah.
They didn't want to be stolen from, so they locked the fucking doors. Who does that sound like?
Yeah. Somehow that was more of a tragedy. Granted, for the people involved, sure. A tragedy, but...
The Triangle Fire or the...
No, the molasses flood. But the Triangle Fire... Triangle Fire was more of a tragedy in my mind.
The Triangle Fire was a massive tragedy.
Yeah.
Because it shouldn't have happened. That was...
There was no whimsy to that.
No. That should not have happened. That...
Yeah. And if you don't know what the Triangle Shirtwaist Fire event is... Was that New York City?
New York City, I believe it was 1911 or 1912. Mm-hmm. It was 143 people, most of whom were young immigrant women who just wanted a job.
1911, same year. No. Years earlier, 1911. Deadliest industrial disaster in the history of the city. The fire caused deaths of 146 garment workers, 123 women, and 23 men. Died from smoke inhalation, falling, or jumping.
Yes. And they think it was caused by somebody putting out a cigarette in one of the rubbish bins because they weren't allowed to leave. The doors were locked.
The doors were locked, right?
The doors were locked because their shit was searched every night when they left.
They didn't want anyone leaving with product.
They literally said that in the trial. I've read the trial transcripts. They didn't want anybody stealing from them. So they locked the doors and they searched their bags every night when they left. So they ate their lunches at their desks. So they had to have their cigarette. Everybody smoked. They had their cigarettes at their desks.
Yeah.
And it was just an accident. And
I wonder how much of it is the fact that they were female and how much of it is the fact that most of them were Italian and Jewish.
Yeah, they were Italian, Jewish,
recent immigrants.
Jews stole... that was the opinion. This is not me. This is historical. Jews stole from everybody. Jews were thieves. Italians were thieves.
Yeah.
Irish were thieves. Everybody was a thief.
Yeah.
Although the factory owners...
And there were a couple of 14-year-olds there.
Yeah, they were very young. They sat hunched over desks over these work tables all day sewing these shirt waist, which, if people don't know, a shirt waist is just a shirt. It was a woman's blouse.
Right.
It was referred to as a shirt waist at the time. It was just a white blouse, long sleeve button down blouse. They sat and sewed those all day to make a little bit of money to support their families or to buy pretty things. It was horrible. They died horribly.
Company's owners, Max Blank and Isaac Harris, who survived the fire by fleeing to the building's roof, where the fire began, were indicted on charges of first and second degree manslaughter in mid-April.
Yep.
The trial started December 4th. Max Stauer, counsel for the defendants, managed to destroy the credibility of one of the survivors, Kate Alterman, by asking her to repeat her testimony a number of times, which she did not. She did without altering key phrases. Yeah.
The set of story was rehearsed.
The jury acquitted the two men of first and second degree manslaughter, but were found liable of wrongful death during the subsequent civil suit in 1913, in which plaintiffs were awarded compensation in the amount of $75 per deceased victim. That's a lot, less than $7,000.
Yeah.
Insurance company paid Blank and Harris about $60,000 more than the reported losses, or about $400 per casualty.
Yeah, if you go to, I think it's Cornell University is where I found all the research that I used for my paper.
Yeah.
You can find trial transcripts, and also I read firsthand accounts of some of the first reporters on the scene who saw the bodies falling from the building. Ugh. Yeah, it's horrific. Yeah, it's...
In 1913, Blanc was once again arrested for locking the door to his factory. Yep. During working hours. He was fined $20.
Yeah. Yeah, I told you, they kept doing it.
I hate people.
So, yeah, there were labor laws and things that were enacted, but these fuckers still kept doing it, and still keep doing it. Look at India. The garment workers that have died in the last few years in India.
Well, in the buildings that have not even caught fire, just collapsed. Because they weren't built right to begin
with. Well, because the machines that are used are so heavy, which was also part of the problem with the Triangle Fire. I think it was the second one. The machines are so big that they can't move around, and that was also part of the problem, was that the size of the machines, they couldn't get around the machines to get out. Yeah. So even if the doors had been unlocked, they probably still would have been fucked, because there was no room to move. And the machines are heavy, which causes buildings to collapse.
Yeah.
You shouldn't have machines that heavy in a building that high if it's not properly constructed, which you got in early century New York, and you get in India, because Americans want cheap clothes fast.
Well, yeah, that's the through line of the whole thing.
And we're
not the through line of the molasses. I don't know.
But it's cheap construction.
Yeah.
Meant to work for a time. Kind of like getting rid of all the regulations that are going on now with the administration.
Oh, yeah, we're knee deep in that right now.
Because regulations hurt businesses. And businesses are people.
I can't remember who said it, but somebody else wondered if they should change the name of the EPA to the Corporate Protection Agency.
Essentially, yeah.
Yeah. Thanks to Scott Pruitt.
And whoever this fuck is that's running in West Virginia now that just did jail time for killing all those people in his mine, and he's running for office. He's the one that's calling Mitch McConnell Cocaine Mitch and all
that.
Did you see the ad?
No.
He talks about China people? Mitch McConnell and his China people?
Mitch McConnell and his China... Oh, his wife?
Well, no, but Mitch McConnell's helping China people. He says China people.
China people.
Yes.
Okay.
It's like the worst 80s infomercial you've ever seen, but it was just produced.
Well, I've seen that guy before. He's a blithering idiot. Oh, he can't string a sentence together.
No, the commercial's like, it's like what we'd see when we were growing up in the 80s, watching TV during the day when we were homesick from school. But it was just made in the last, like, month or so. It's fucking hysterical.
Good grief.
Yeah, it's terrible.
I don't know if this could be a segment now. I think it has to be an entire podcast episode to itself. That's okay. So,
give me a microphone, I'm going to keep talking.
So normally there would be an art segment and a design segment in this podcast. Not this time.
Sorry.
That's okay. Because
I like the sound of my voice.
I like the sound of your voice too. I bet they do too. Actually, this is kind of not my podcast anymore. Do you want this one?
Welcome to the Steampunk Dollhouse Annex.
Right. No, this is called It's a Thing. It's my podcast, not yours. Shut up. I don't need you.
The Bat Cave.
The Bat Cave. No, I do need a name for this thing. It's a Thing is not a good name. And I think it actually is already taken, so we need something.
Mr. Stocking's Closet.
There's too much going on there. There's a lot going on in just
those words. You the drawing or the music room or something like that.
No, the art department.
The art department. That's
the art department is not a bad idea, except that it's not... I blather about things other than art. But...
The Mind Palace.
Jeez.
No. But then that draws a listen to Sherlock.
Yeah, this is not a Sherlock Holmes podcast.
Do you
want
to try to live up to that?
This podcast is art, design, politics, and pop culture. Wow, that's a... I might have to yank one of those out of there. I don't know which one.
Matt's too many thoughts.
Yeah. Oh, I never introduced myself. This is Matt.
Mr. Stocking.
Mr. Stocking, game troll. purportedly the owner of this podcast, signing off for the, well, the latest first episode.
Yes.
That works.
That works.
Because there was the first one in it. Was jacked up by the fact that I didn't know what I was doing. It's not that I do now.
No, but I have made how many episodes? I don't know what the fuck I'm doing.
Alright. That's it. We're done. Thank you.
Blue stocking out.
Bye.